Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you today. We've been here since, 7:30 this morning or something. It's all been great fun. When I was first a rector at St. Margaret's Church in Miami Lakes in Miami, we rented our parish hall to a Montessori school that was just really across the street and maybe half a block down from the church. And my daughter Katie, who was 6 at that time, went to kindergarten and to first grade there. And the owners of the school, Paul and Charlene Thibodeau, were evangelical Christians of the happy clappy sort. A very joyful bunch. And I have to admit to always wondering, are we ever, going to get into it here? But we never did, which was great. And they were a blessing to me, actually, for always. And one day I drove the half a block from the church to the school to pick up Katie. And then we were going to go home. And I knew I'd just be inside for a couple of minutes, maybe 2 minutes. So I left my purse on the floor of the passenger side of my car, and I locked my car, and I ran in and got Katie, and I ran back out, and somebody had broken the window and stolen my bag. So I got Katie and ran back in, and Paul and Charlene were standing there, and I said, my purse just got stolen out of my car, they broke my window, and I was panicked, and Paul reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and said, this will hold you over. And then Charlene, not a second later, said, oh, Mary, don't let those people steal your joy. And I was immediately, brought back into a place of calm and peace. And I thought to myself, that's true. Why in the world should I let them steal my joy? And Paul handed me the phone, and I called my husband, and I said, look, I just did this really stupid thing. Living in Miami, come on, nobody, just stupid to leave your purse in view anywhere. Call the credit card companies, get the card canceled. And it was basically an event that could have been a lot of drama that really wasn't too much drama at all. I did lose my Louis Vuitton wallet, though, and that created a bit of internal drama, I have to say. Not that somebody had given me the wallet, one of my husband's distributors in his business, and so I did call the insurance company and say, so, do you replace Louis Vuitton wallet, perhaps? And my insurance agent said, well, you can go buy it, and then we'll reimburse you minus the deductible. I was like, oh, forget that. I don't pay $600 for a wallet. But I was able to be clear that I didn't just want to give away my joy. In our gospel reading in John 17, this gospel section falls within the larger section of John of about 14 to 18, roughly, where there are two farewell discourses. Jesus is talking about really the spirituality and the theology of his life with God and our life in God. So he's talking about the death and the resurrection and the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've had a lot of that text over these last few weeks in the season of Easter. And he talks about how we are one with Jesus, just as Jesus and the Father are one. And he says a couple of times throughout this section, he says, I tell you these things so that you can love one another, and so that your joy can be complete. I tell you these things so you can love one another, and so your joy can be complete. And I'm no sociologist, but I think that it's true of every human being, that really all we want is to love and to be loved, and to have deep joy. That's really all we want, is to love and be loved and to be truly, deeply happy. And Jesus talks about how we can be in love and deeply happy. Particularly in this section of John's Gospel, he says it over and over again. I am in you, and you are in me, just as I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And the Spirit lives in you, and you live in the Spirit. And so as we feel the presence of God, we are receiving God's deep love for us. And it makes us so happy. So happy. And sometimes we forget that we are one with the very fullness of God. We just forget. And when we forget, we just have to remember. And we can easily remember by becoming aware of unseen things. Those things in life like love and joy and peace that are with us all the time but that we just forget about. So you can right now just call to mind your love for someone in your life. And they don't have to be here, but you can feel that love for them. And you can feel their love for you. And as you are aware of that love, you are aware of an unseen reality. And you can feel God's love for you. And your love for God. And you can give it away now. So you can give it to somebody next to you even. You don't have to tell them or even look at them. You can just say, I love you. These are eternal gifts, and they are glorious. Jesus says, I'm coming back to your glory. And is heaven a place? I don't know, eternity. See, it has no beginning and no end. Does it have a locale? It just is. And so we as Christians don't believe in an afterlife, we believe in an eternal life. So Jesus says, physically I'm leaving here and I'm coming to glory. And so where this glory that we receive and where this love and joy that we receive is coming from eternity. That means it doesn't have any beginning or any end, it just is. So it never runs out. So we always have it in us, but sometimes we forget we're in it. And when we become conscious of it, we live as God wants us to live, and we live glory to glory. We live glory to glory. That's God's prayer and hope for us. And Jesus is praying for his disciples as he leaves. Now, can you protect them, please, God? Because they're going to forget when I leave. When they don't have my bodily presence, they're going to forget. Can you please protect them and help them remember that we are one? That we are one. And God wants us to live glory to glory. And the way we do that is just to stay in that love and keep loving and to remember eternal joy is ours. We forget sometimes and we don't live glory to glory, but rather we live drama to drama. You know people like that? Sometimes we are people like that, right? We live drama to drama to drama instead of glory to glory to glory. I can look back in my 20s and I can remember being at church and looking at people and thinking, wow, that person's always got so much drama. There's always a story, something going on. But that person's always so peaceful. How is that? And one day I remember going, I want to be them. I want to be them. And we always have a choice if we're going to live glory to glory or drama to drama. In the First Peter reading we heard, the writer says, humble yourself to God's mighty hand. And as I was preparing this sermon, I had in my head, and I asked David, which scripture are you, which translation are you reading? Oh, the NRSV? Well, my NRSV said, same text, I just got it wrong in my head. Humble yourself to God's grace. And it says, I think you humble yourself to God's mighty hand. Same thing. And sometimes we have to choose. And when we're in a place of high drama in life, we have to choose to humble ourselves to God's grace. Humble ourselves to God's grace. And to say, I'm going to move over here and live glory to glory. instead of living drama to drama. When we choose that, we're going to give up the really extreme highs, which are almost kind of like feeding an addiction, where we want to get that adrenaline rush and that excitement, so we get into the drama. And we're going to leave behind those extreme lows, and we're going to come into that stable place of just being in love with God and loving others and being happy and deeply calm and at peace. As some of you will know, my husband Michael and I, we adopted our son Dorian about 5 years ago when he was 9. And he came to us through the Department of Children and Families, so he comes out of an abused and neglected background. And those kids know a thing or two about drama. And so we had quite a lot of drama, sometimes police calling drama. But one day, I was cooking dinner, and it was the frantic witching hour, you know, cook dinner, get the homework done, 5 million things going on at one time. I had my mother staying with me, who at that point had advanced Parkinson's disease, and she was lying on the sofa waiting for dinner to be ready, and she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear her anymore, her voice was at a whisper. And suddenly Dorian, our son, began to flail about and couldn't speak. He was so agitated and he was scratching all over and I had no idea what was going on. He was just looking at me like, you have to do something. And I thought, what's happening here? I mean, I was thinking, do I have to go to the emergency room and take this child to the nurse? Something's terribly wrong here. And then my mother started clapping because that's the only way she could get people's attention. And I go over and I listen and I'm like, what are you trying to say? He just needs to be loved, Mary. He needs to be loved. And I'm like, I know that's the big picture, Mom, but something else is happening here. Something's going on. And then I thought, what, did he eat something? Did he get into something? What happened here? And then I realized he'd had a haircut. And the hair from the cut was agitating his skin. And kids that have been abused feel pain at just as nothing. It's something you wouldn't necessarily feel pain at. They feel it just intensely. And so this hair on his neck was just, you know, irritating him. And he was completely, completely out of control and agitated. It was drama. So I sent him off to have a cool shower with a lot of soap. Lather up, get that hair off of it. And he was okay. And it took us some time. It really took about 3 years for us to get to a place where we weren't always having to live in the drama. And we could come down as a family to that center place of no extreme adrenaline rush highs and no extreme adrenaline rush lows, but just being in love and enjoy. And it's God's desire, it's the purpose of Jesus, for us to live in glory and not drama.